Our Father, we pray that you will bless as we take time to ponder your word. Pray that you will teach us how to go deeper. Help us to understand this topic on suffering especially. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. One of my biggest concerns is that in life, we have become almost totally unused to suffering. We try to cushion ourselves against suffering all the time. Right? We cushion ourselves against everything. As an insurance policy for almost any subject, anything, any condition in the world. Right? There was one person years and years ago who tried to sell me an earthquake insurance. For if it happens, earthquake insurance in Singapore, you'll be paid this amount. I said, how real is that earthquake going to be in Singapore? But never mind, you're insured against it. Anyways, for a small amount. See, why? This is the kind of stuff that we see all over the place. People play on fear. What's the best thing to do? Really learn how to understand suffering as God meant it to be. Right? So this is important. So this is something that we need. Part of the problem of suffering, first and foremost, they are self-caused suffering. Right? I remember when I was a small boy and I had a really big problem with asthma. Childhood asthma was very, very severe in my time, in my life. It's really, really tough. So when people have that kind of so bad that I had literally had to put an adrenaline needle into the body. So that's how it works. You just put it inside. It's not an injection. You just put it on there and let it flow into the bit. Every half an hour, add a bit more. One injection took 1 hour. And it's just stuck there. Can't do anything. The doctor says, you're going to stay in this clinic. Here's a place to sit down, you know, occupy yourself, but you can't move. Because, and then the nurse will come and check and then see how I am and then inject a little bit more. That's how that works. Right? So some things cannot be done either. There is no instant cure kind of thing here. Right? A lot of people use PAF and all that. But do you know that those PAFs, the effectiveness is only about 2 or 3 hours. That's it. The old asthma will come back. It doesn't last forever. It's only when you need it very badly, there and then, stop. After a while, you haven't solved the problem. The problem is still there. Right? Think about this. But a lot of the problems are self-caused because, you know, I don't really listen very well in those days. Right? So you cannot eat this, it will trigger out. I will eat anyway. Cannot drink cold drinks, I will drink anyway. And that's a problem. When a lot of these things are self-caused because we have no one to blame but ourselves. Right? So when we look at a self-caused problem, the answer is yourself. So what's the answer? I'll just pray about it. After I get asthma, then I pray about it. Lord, help me. Look, you created this problem. You solve it. So we think that God is just a machine and answer my prayer. I'll pray for you. And then those magic things come out. Come on. That is not what the scriptures teach us. All right? So those are the self-caused problems. Now, let's look very carefully into the next part of it where it is not self-caused, it is from an external source. Let's look at chapter 3, and we talk about here, okay? So we learn how to live properly, having a good conscience, 3:16. When they defame you as evildoers and they revile your good conduct in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Now, this is very important. So this is external. External kind of suffering is when people are going to hit you, people are going to attack you, people are going to say all manner of evil against you Like what the Lord warned against you falsely. This is Matthew 5, 8th Beatitude. Right? What if people speak against you? And this is where the whole challenge is. All right, so how do we actually cope with these things here? All right, so in verse 18, we read, "For the Lord Jesus Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." All right, now this is one of those things. Sometimes our suffering will result in blessing for others. In this case here, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got to bear in mind, in my suffering, what can be done? Very often we focus on our suffering so much that we see no meaning outside our suffering. We miss the point. As a Lord of meaning. Right? So when we are unjustly accused, when people speak against us, we get angry, we yell back, we shout back. Well, that's not suffering. Right? That's a war situation coming up, and that becomes a very difficult thing. And this is important for us to take note of. Right. So when things come badly and things come undone and we are attacked along the way, what's the best thing? Always bear in mind the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Can the just suffer for the unjust? Yes. Can life be unfair? Yes. We often think that life must be fair. Why? Where does the Bible ever say that life must be fair? Life is never fair. All right? You look at the poor people. How come they are poor? How come we are not? It's not fair to them. You see, so this kind of approach and understanding must be changed. The best thing is to have the Lord's word fill our heart and our mind so that we are cleansed from all the wrong thoughts and ideas about all kinds of things. It's very important. All right? So can the just suffer for the unjust? Yes. Now, I'm going to take you into a text that is very challenging to think about. Okay? Chapter 4. Right, so this is important. So we have the example of the Lord Jesus. Okay? Now, chapter 4. Now, since Christ suffered for us, arm yourselves with the same mind. Now, this is very important. Right? So if part of the 1 Peter 3:15, you got to arm yourself. Okay, if they're going to do this to the Lord Jesus Christ, why would they not hurt you? Why would they not speak against you? Right? It's because we think that everybody is nice, world is a nice place, and we all think this is a path we can walk on. The world is at war, not a park. Right? So this is something real. Okay. Now, arm yourself with the same mind. Now, this is a very special thing that we want to look at, right? So the part of it, the Lord Jesus is our example. Now, here are lessons to application. He who has suffered has ceased from sin. Now, that is amazing, right? So when you look at the cause of it all, once you have suffered for something, right, you'll find that you will now avoid that very thing that is going to cause that trouble. That's what we do when we see our children are, they have allergic reaction to ground nuts. So what's the best thing to do? Don't touch it. Right? Obvious, because you can trigger off something really bad. So we learn how to avert. We learn how to avoid. We learn how to cope. This is what we mean by seized from sin. Unlikely that you're going to be there. You don't want to risk it. Right? Now that is the thing that we want. So you don't want to do this. This is a very, very difficult concept, but it is important. Okay? So we have seized from sin. In other words, this is the thing that is there. The only thing is that, while it's true theoretically, it is often not practiced very much. Right? So if we look at Peter 1 Peter 3:15 principle of bringing the Lord, sanctifying the Lord God in our heart, and the Lord stands for everything that is there: holiness, love, understanding, wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and all that the Lord represents is in our heart. All these other things will also have to be in our hearts. But we don't. Right? We know that this is going to make us weak. We will continue to be weak. Why can't we take a bit of extra time to read the Lord's word, understand it? As I said, you don't have to have a lot of... You don't need to read Leviticus to be saved. You don't. Right? So, don't be worried about what you don't know. We start with simplicity. Chapter 1, 1 Peter, salvation. So many aspects. Right? 1 Peter 2, 1, grow along the way. Right? We see God's plan revealed that we are living stones. We come to the Lord. Then we are built into a spiritual house. Right? This is very important. So we become a priesthood, a holy priesthood, and so on and so forth. See, these are great truths. These are to give you markers for us to understand and to apply in our life. And if we can put it all together, then we have got some central truths in our life to guide us in our life. And what we have would be core central truths. And if the core central truths will be there in our life, then you'll find that you know how to walk. The values will be there. The strength will be there. The wisdom, understanding will be there. And that is what we mean by it. So one, what causes the problem of, what causes us to be weak, we know what it is, we identify with it, we deal with it, we have ceased from that area of sin. That's how it works. Right? So if I have a salvation that is there, you know what? I am just going to think about all the Lord has blessed. That's one part. Okay? Two, I will want to grow. 1 Peter 2, 1. I want to grow as newborn babe. I want to grow as much as I possibly can. Right? Now, I want to take my place in the house of the Lord. I want to be one of those living stones, fit into God's plan. Right? I don't want to be a brick that has gone crazy, throw here, throw there. I'm part of God's plan in the church. If I have that knowledge and the wisdom and the discernment, I know I want to fit in. Right? This is how it is. So there are, you know, one of the questions afternoon would be, what do we do when we all grow older? We can't always do this. We're no longer able to have the strength to do this. We're not able to give financially. We're not able to... It's almost as if you're going to die already. Right? Now, if that's going to happen within the same week, it's all right. You're due to be an usher on Sunday, but you're going to die on Monday. It's all right to take a break. It's time to go home already. But most of us are not in that state. But can we plan for this? Yes. There will come a time. Right? So if I, one of these days, can no longer explain the Lord's word, can no longer bring up the truth, then that's the time to say, well, the Lord is going to call me home soon. Right? So my prayer is to the Lord is, let me die with some dignity. I don't know how, but I can put a request, right? Whether the Lord will answer, I don't know. But I'm going to try. Right? We're really going to try, but this is important for me to understand. Right? But you don't know when that end will come. So we have to ask ourselves how this will actually work for us. Right? So then we go and talk about the suffering. This is very important. We have ceased from sin. That he should no longer live the rest of his life in the flesh. Now, that's what it is. Right? So question is, what kind of sensation? I am no longer going to pursue those things. Right? In other words, I no longer live in the flesh. That's where Paul writes to us in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, right? And I'm no longer, I'm really dead. But what about this life that I have? The life that I have in the flesh, I live for the Lord. By His grace, I will do it everything I can. So I want to belong to the Lord in this level. I want to do it. Right? So we look at the priesthood idea. There's so many parts. Right? So not everyone is going to be a prayer warrior. That's fine. Well, what can some do? Some people can sing. And some people cannot sing. If you cannot sing, please don't join the choir. Don't. Right? You don't know when to come in. You don't know when to keep quiet. You sing the wrong parts. You confuse people around you. If you are going to do that, please have mercy. Don't be there. Do other things. Be there to clap. Be there. You can be a listener. You can say, well, you don't know how to blow that. You can support. There's so many ways. But you don't have to be a performer. You don't have to be. There's so many things we can do. Right? The challenge is don't live in the flesh anymore. Stop. That's the best thing to do. Right? So you're not going to, going to live the same. It was your life has changed. It must. Right? And sometimes forcibly. That is, you have to be very, very careful. Because of the surgery that I had in the neck years ago, I find it very hard to turn to the left. Right? A little bit, but when you turn the car, it's always to the left. From time to time, you turn to the right too, but most of the time, like, I find it very hard to turn. Right? So you got to slowly inch here and there. Right? So if you see a 293, don't honk. Right? Think about this. And we all make adjustments. And we learn how to battle sin. And that's something that we need to consider very carefully. Right? So we go on to other areas. Okay, now. So when we just said we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, right? In the past, is all of those things here: lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries, and all of these things. Now suddenly, I don't want. Then people think it's very strange. How come you used to smoke with us, drink with us, get drunk with us? We all share all kinds of jokes and all that. And you say, no more. Really? You're sick, is it? No. I'm sick of this, but not sick. And you say, no more. That's how we fight sin. That's how we live for the Lord. The old ways, gone part of our life, they're no more there. Right? Now, this is how we practice this idea. This is all part of 1 Peter 3:15, The whole chapter is the same. The question is how to apply the Lord God in your heart. All these things will be affected. Your personal life, your family life, the pursuits in your life, the purpose in your life, the activities in your life, every single aspect will be involved. And you don't want to live for the world in any way, at any time. Right? So this is important. Now, here is a sense of urgency. The end of all things is at hand. All right? So let us say that you have really bad news. And the doctor says you have 6 months to live. What would you do with those 6 months? Seriously. Right? Now, some years ago, when I was in another church, it was many, many years ago, this person came along and said to me, I have a problem. The doctor says to me, I've got advanced liver cancer, cirrhosis, and I have 6 months to live. I said, do you know why you have this problem? And he said, yes, this is my life. Drinking, partying, drink, until my liver is hardened. So he asked, can you pray, God give me life? I can't die now. My children are so young. So I said, okay, if God were to hear this prayer, how long do you think you would like to live? The doctor says 6 months. How long do you want to extend your life if God hears that prayer? And he said, maybe 2 or 3 years. That's already very good. Because all the doctors told him, hey, 6 months, that's it, max. I said, okay, let's say we pray this prayer. And then next, what would you do with the next 2 or 3 years? Tell me, what are you going to do? Are you going back to the old way? No, Pastor, never. So what are you going to do in the next 2 or 3 years that God's going to give you life for? Right? So he said, I want to first know God. 2, I want to serve the Lord. Whatever time left that I have. Right? And for the next few months, I spent a lot of time with him, sharing with him the Lord's word, teaching the Lord's word to him, and he was really glad. Right? So then came a time I said, his name is called Robert. So I said, I need to go to the U.S. to study for a while. I'm going to be there for a short couple of semesters, and I'll come back. Then I'll see you again. He said, okay, but you must come back and we can go. But I knew his time was coming to an end. So I received notice that he was dying, but I was already on the way back. And so the moment the plane touched the ground, Singapore, he had just passed away. So they asked me to conduct a funeral, which I did. Now, what did he do the last 2 or 3 years that he lived? So I lost touch with the family for many years. 20 years later, the wife came up to me and said, Pastor, do you remember me? Well, I knew the husband much more than a wife. And she said, I was the widow of Robert. My 2 sons have now got medical practices at Maui. If there's any time you need help for these specialties, please let me know. They will take care of you. No charges. I said, thank you. Appreciate your thought. It was hard to do that. But husband and wife, family, sanctification. Teach their children. This is what you must seek to do. Values are set. Faith is given and trusted. And they grew. You see, those 2 or 3 years are precious years. Many of us think that that's hard it is. Oh, we think about it. I had a mother-in-law. I think most mothers-in-law are no good. This mother-in-law was very good and very special. This mother-in-law had many sons. I am an in-law. But when she became sick, I brought her down to see the doctors. And the doctor said, your cancer is very advanced. He told me, please tell your mother, 6 months, 9 months, that's it. Remember, doctors are not gods. They can tell you the words just to prepare you for what is eventual. So we pray. So I was there. I would drive her down to the clinic, all her chemo sessions, I was there. Because I happened to know the oncologist. So it was a very, very challenging time. It was not 6 months. It was more than 6 years. You see, you never know how God will answer prayer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not the oncologist. I'm just a driver. I just happen to be the contact person, so I know the different people and became friends with them and, look to her, to look after her for whatever it is. See, these are things we can do. And maybe along the way, the Lord, he would hear and answer prayer. You never know. That's why when you pray for others, it must be with a heart of love. There are a few people for whom you pray with tears. And I'm saying I'm not able to pray for everyone with tears, not everyone. Right? But there are people who are precious to me and special to me, and what happens to them matters to me. What Paul calls to the Philippian church, he wrote to them about his friend who was dying. He said, the Lord spared his life so that I may not have sorrow upon sorrow. There are people whom God sends into your life, and they are special and they are precious, and you love them and you care for them. And they are not always biological family people, but God has given them to you to care for, to love, to understand. And you learn how to pray along these lines. You know, they become the extra inspiration to live better. I will do this because I'm very conscious. I want to live better. This is the person I care for. I want this person to know that I will live well. That's how children learn how to cope with a father dying early. I will remember what my father said and did, and I will do this. So God sends different people into our lives along the way. And they become your inspiration. They become your joy, your strength. And you will attempt better, work harder because of these people you care for. That's a part of suffering. That's how God helps us in our suffering. Right? Our problem is we don't like suffering. We want to deny suffering. Can God take away this suffering? No. The answer is no. Right here and right now, we don't seem to understand this, but you don't know who will have cancer next. Until you have learned to care for a cancer patient and you understand what it means, how challenging it is, how difficult it can be, you don't understand what it means to care for people who are suffering, but you learn to care. Because God wants you to learn. Now, you may not be suffering this yourself, but that's what it is. So you learn along the way, a lot of things, right? And so you learn how to cope with these things. It's all part of the suffering, and it's going to be far better along the way. And then we read, okay? But the end of all things is at hand. Be serious, be watchful in your prayers. That's what it is. So we have a lot of things plus one more extra factor. The extra factor is the end of all things is going to come. One day the Lord will come back. What then? You got to be ready. So when you live in consciousness, the Lord is returning. Guess what? I want to be very, very sure that I am going to get ready for the Lord's coming. Right? So the Lord tells us, be ready, be ready. Then we learn what it means to be ready. What if we don't? That is a real challenge for us to consider. Right? So this is another additional reason, and that's important. So how do we practice all of these things here? Right? And so we read in verse 8. Right? And above all things, have fervent love for one another as one. So love will cover a multitude of sins. That's one part of it. Two, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Right? Hospitability is not just once in a while. Right? And then you set up practice. Then after you open your home, and then you look, wow, so many, so messy, so wow, so time-consuming. And don't practice that, because it's going to be all of these things here. Practice it with love, right? Otherwise, it's not going to work. Right? So then we go on further. Right? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, this is a question that was raised. Supposing I got no money. Supposing I am old. Supposing I'm not so strong anymore. What else can I do? See? We have the manifold grace of God. Grace of God is manifested in so many different ways. Some people have more gifts than one. Some people are really multi-gifted, and you know, you thank God for them. When we learn to use whatever gift God has given to us, and we use this in the context of all that we have, especially with reference to the church. That's what it means. So we use all of these things as available, given to us. So if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. If the ability is not there, don't. It's not yours. But some people think, I must study Greek. What for? Not that I don't want you to learn, but you can, but then you get headache, you get fed up, you get angry. Then why bother? You know, is God going to deny us heaven because you didn't study Greek? Of course not. Right? Now, this is very important for us to understand. So don't take it badly. And so we all, according to the ability that God has given to us, in all things, the Lord is glorified through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. We do everything with reference to the glory of God. That's all we want to focus on. Now, if we can do this, that would be great. Right? So I had a business friend once, and he said, this is how he divides his inheritance. So he says, I have got 3 children. 1, 2, 3. Right? The fourth belongs to God. That is his plan. I will give to my children, yes. But I will also give to God. Would you give 25% away? People give a token. And they will tell you, it's a thought that matters. How we stretch things is according to what God has given. All that we have come from God. That's what Peter, that's what David said. All things come from you. And we have given. What have we given? It's from the Lord that we give. That's it. That was his theology of giving. Right? But we don't know how to do that. This is how we want to add these things here. So when we talk about sanctifying the Lord God in our heart, it's everything, you know, because God represents everything. So when we talk about God in our heart, sanctified, it means his love, his wisdom, his knowledge, his power, his strength, you name it, find it. That's why perfecting cannot be done in one day, in one session, in one area. It must be area after area after area after area after area. Right? That's why the guarding of the pulpit, the teaching of the Lord's word, we don't give to everybody. Why? So much has to be learned first before you are now going to be ready to teach. There's no other way. That's how it works. Right? So think about these things here, that when we look at these things here, we want to talk about what it means. So we learn how to suffer for the Lord, and we should never be afraid. Remember, there is always a plan. You see, there's so many aspects, right? One aspect, we follow the Lord's example. Two aspects, suffering ceases sin, right? Talk about the whole idea, how we can minister to other people who are in pain and in suffering, because we understand that. Right? And then along the way, through all the suffering, we are very conscious that there are many other gifts. And so we work on these things here. Right? I remember when I had to go through the first operation on my spine many years ago. And during the period of time, it was difficult. So I decided that I will study the theology of suffering from the epistles of Paul. So it was a lot of work, many, many pages of work was done and all that. And then, I don't know where I put it. I hope you understand this. You know, at the end of it all, that's one thing to learn, and we can share these things here. That's one time. Now, let's say that I go through another operation. Can I use this one for the old one? No, I don't. I start again. In a fresh new way. What is this suffering? all about. They're not the same. Even though it's the same person, another set of suffering, there's another set of lessons that God wants to teach us. It's not repeat. Now that is even more challenging. Right? He said, you really don't understand how that could be. The first operation was one. It was either I walk or I don't walk. That's 50-50 chances. I walk. The person in church, they couldn't walk. Wheelchair. That was the difference. I saw this stark difference. You know, I am so grateful that I can walk. Because I cannot imagine a life where I cannot walk around and teach the Lord's word. Right? So another operation, but this one was a neck. It was even more severe. Either I'm paralyzed or I get well from my neck down. Again, you seek the Lord. You cannot seek the Lord in the old way. You're going to seek the Lord in a fresh new way. So every time we go through suffering, look at it from a fresh perspective. And once you understand a fresh perspective, that's where we learn lessons. And the learning of lessons from a fresh perspective makes the understanding of suffering so much more meaningful. It's not in vain. Nothing is in vain if you see it from the Lord's standpoint. Trust me, I'm doing this for whatever reason. There are reasons why. And the Lord will reveal this in time to come. You see the whole challenge of suffering? It's not a straightforward, straight down the line. You're now one and two and three. It doesn't. It can be inward, it can be outward, it can be upward, it could be in so many different ways. And many of us try to prevent suffering. Well, up to a point. But there will come a time when we all will face the eventuality, the final chapter, the final walk. It will come. Why don't we get ready now for that day? The end of all things is at hand. When are we going to get ready? Oh, don't talk about death. Why? You think don't talk about death, death won't come. You talk about death, death will come. Right? Why? You know, some people are scared of the word four. You know, some live 1, 2, 3, 5. Really? You'd be surprised. It's all Shangri-La hotels, no 4. 1, 2, 3, 5, no 4. Right? In Taiwan, hospital beds, 1, 2, 3, no 4. C. My room number, C. Why? You're scared of it. Oh. You may not know this. Right? But those who study numbers, 444 is a good number. So ask the young people whether they understand. It's young people's language, you know. It's a 444. What does that mean? Right? And so there it is. And the answer was, it is angelic language. Huh? So the young people, Pastor, what is angelic language? How does the angel tell you that you are loved? 444 means you are greatly loved. Not C. It means you are greatly loved. And guess what? It's 444. So early this morning, so last few mornings, when they wake up and see what the time is, guess what? 444. So what's the problem? Is the angel telling me? No, no need that kind of stuff. Right? We have the Lord's word. We have the Lord's word to tell us that we are loved by the Lord. With no question about that. Look at Hosea, right? He says, I will betroth you to me with this loving kindness in righteousness and so on and so forth. Those are wonderful things to feed on. And so we are better armed to deal with all the problems and challenges of life when we understand the Lord in His Word. And this is how we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Right? So then when our heart is encased, in this case here, by the word, by his love, by his power, by his promises, then our heart is very strong because it's encased. And that's wonderful to be able to do this. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. And so we need not be afraid of suffering. A lot of people are afraid of suffering. We are just scared. What happens if? What happens if? What happens if I, you know, I mean, there was a dear lady that I went to visit in the hospital years and years ago. I forget what her name is now. And whenever I go to the hospital, I always see her sit on a chair. So I say, why you sit on a chair? Every time I come and see you, it's in the chair. I said, why don't you lie down on your bed and rest up better? He says, cannot. I said, tell me, why not? You see, you don't understand. See, when you die, whatever you are on, you carry with you. So if I sit on a chair, if I die on a chair, I only take the chair. But if I die on a bed, my bed, whoa, how am I going to carry the bed in the next life? See, these were her thoughts, and it really, really made her so upset because you are going to take with you whatever you lie on or sit on. That's it, right? So you know there's some old Chinese ascetics that when they die, you watch them die. All the movies show you die sitting up. Hey, the person died already. It's called a very good death. You die sitting up. A lot of people, when they just sit down, and they are in this session, and they're already not here. I mean, this can happen at any time. When we all understand, as age comes up, we all understand, shh, don't disturb the person, right? So this happens. One day in an old church, in old UK, the deacon of the church had to tell the pastor, someone died in the congregation, but sitting up. So the pastor said, quietly call the ambulance and pick the person out and leave quiet. Don't disturb the whole service. So the ambulance came, they were instructed quietly. They had to take away 6 people before they found out the one who actually died. I mean, that can happen when we grow older. I mean, seriously, look, don't be afraid of growing older. Don't be afraid if you are tired and you I mean, listen, right? So many years ago, there was another death during a camp time. And so I still remember him, and it was actually Benjamin Kwa's grandfather who passed on. So I had to go back for a while and then to look after things. And I still remember when he was there, he tells his Auntie Blossom, and he said, please come and Kwa's pastor, come and pray for me. So I go to his house and Serangoon Garden, and I just pray with him. So he would ask the wife, how come pastor didn't come? I said, of course he did. He was here with you. So because as I prayed with him, and he went to sleep, real nicely when he went to sleep. So I left, and he'd forgotten that I was there. So, you know, putting people to sleep is my specialty. Right? Some people specialize in different things. So I'm a very good anesthetist there. No medicine, nothing there. You just speak for a while. The voice comes visit down. Because the person cannot sleep, you see. Pastor, the voice tells me, Pastor, I really cannot sleep. You know? At night, I really cannot sleep. So I ask him, do you sleep in the daytime? He said, yeah, I sleep in the daytime. I said, how long? Many hours. Then of course you cannot sleep at night. But he couldn't understand that. So I said, okay, let's try and see. And so I would read the scriptures with him, talk to him, pray with him. So 1, 2, 3. And before we come to the third stage, he's already gone. Okay, let's pray together. So I hold him. I was telling you. You see,
This way you are God. I was still telling you the story. You are wishing it's over. All right, I know where you are coming from. We will end very shortly. But think about these things here. So don't be afraid of suffering. I'm serious. Learn how to take suffering in your stride. There are reasons why God allows us to suffer. It's not for nothing. Right? If you can take this approach with faith in your heart, you can cope with anything. Okay, think about these things here. And now we pray. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can be here to read your word, to understand and encourage each other. We pray that you will help us to cope with suffering, because we know suffering will come. I pray as we enter into old age, you will teach us lessons that will help us cope. We pray that you will teach us faith, how to sanctify you in our hearts deeply, with all the things that are associated with who you are. And Lord, teach us how to face life properly. We pray that you'll encourage us to learn how to use all the gifts given to us to serve you as we should. Pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.